Thank you. And thank you. Thank you for our gift as well. It's very much a very big surprise and a very much a blessing. And you are all a blessing. And you look wonderful. Love all the Christmas get up. A bit more Australian, all the Christmas clobber that we're wearing today. You look great. When you turn a person next to you and say, it's good to see you. I'm just moving my stuff around here. Anyone get a candle? We bought enough probably for two each. So make sure you take one home. Take to the carols on next Saturday, which will be a really fun. I think, what are they at? I mean, they're at 12,000 tickets or something last week. I reckon they'd have to be close to 15. Because imagine how many people would be getting them late. That's going to be one amazing time together next Saturday at the stadium, for carols in the stadium. So make sure you grab your tickets. Bless God. Well, I'm just going to share a real quick message this morning before we get into eating some amazing lunch together. Isn't that one of the coolest things about Christmas time, is all the food you get to eat? Anyone agree? Kids, you agree? Who likes the food? Bless God. Who likes the presents? No one? Just one or two people like getting presents. Should be a cheap Christmas for everyone then. Who likes getting together with their family? Who gets nervous about getting together with their family? My daughter yells out, yeah. Isn't it interesting though that we've got all these things that we do at Christmas time which become just a part of what we do, a part of, the tradition of Christmas, the ritual of Christmas, you know, all those, you know, gatherings and go buy gifts and present gifts and we buy new outfits and we get dressed up. There's all these different things that we go to carols, we go to church services, all these different things. There's so much stuff on. Whose calendars are full for like the next 2 weeks of all the different things that need to happen? Who knows that they can become a really big distraction to us? You know, quite often we have these distractions that take our attention away from what Christmas is actually about. And so what I want to do this morning is pull us back to what Christmas is actually about. Because quite often we can think about the gifts over the giver. Or we can think about the gifts over what has been given. You know, we think about and we get distracted by, you know, the busyness and you know, we overschedule all these different things with all the events and the parties and the occasions, you know, and we're rushing into things and rather than resting, you know, and we have this limited space or this limited time just to be still and remember. Amen? But who knows that Jesus is the reason that we're here today. Jesus is the reason that we celebrate Christmas. Amen? You know, so Christmas time needs to be a time where we remember and remind ourselves about, you know, what this time of year is about. You know, and it's a beautiful reminder to us that God isn't distant. You know, his purpose wasn't to remain distant, but to come into the world, and he came through Jesus. Someone say Jesus. Jesus came. And what happened in that moment is that love became flesh. Amen? Love became flesh. And we've got this series or this slogan, if you like. I don't know if it's not up there, but He Shall Reign has been the slogan that, or the series title that we've used for the last few weeks as our Christmas time message. You know what? It's more than a slogan. It's more than a series. It's actually a declaration of heaven. It's a declaration of heaven. Someone say it's a declaration of heaven. Christmas is more than just a story about a baby in a manger. It's actually an announcement of a king. It's an announcement of a kingdom. And it's an announcement of a king who would reign forever. Someone say, he shall reign. You know that long before Jesus was born, and I know you know this, but a little bit of background about Christmas is that there were all these prophets that prophesied about the coming of the king, the coming of Jesus. So we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 9 very quickly in verse 6 and 7, reading out of the they were looking forward to me to 6, 7. Do it like that. You like that? My kids said to me one day, they said, you know what, you need to do a message with a 6-7 verse in it, so everyone can go 6-7. Everyone know what 6-7 is? And there were 67,000 potholes. My daughter goes, 6-7. Anyway, if you're not sure what that is, no one really knows what that is, which is true. But anyway, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, which says this, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Forever, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7, his government and his peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Amen. So Isaiah, in this scripture, you know, he's prophesying the coming of a king, the birth of a king. But he's doing more than that. He's announcing, he's making a declaration to the world that a kingdom is coming. A king is coming. Amen. And you know, this kingdom, it's without end. This kingdom, you know, is a kingdom that's being built on righteousness, justice, and peace. Amen. And if you look at also in Luke chapter 1, let's have a look there. In Luke chapter 1, verse 30 to 33. You know, Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, makes a similar announcement to Mary, okay, who's literally in shock in this moment. When the angel appeared to her, he said this, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. This kingdom, someone say this kingdom, will never end. Amen? This kingdom will never end. So there's an announcement being made. Like I said, this story, you know, is more than just a baby in a manger. It's an announcement of a king. It's the arrival of a king. And it's interesting when you think about kings' arrivals. Like this, the arrival of this king was you know, so different and really so unexpected. You know, when you think about the arrival of kings, you think about kings coming, you know, with all the pomp and the ceremony and, you know, and all the trumpets and the armies, you know, when a king comes. But the coming of this king was so different. You know, he came in a stable rather than, you know, in a palace. He came in a manger rather than instead of a throne. You know, he was announced by shepherds rather than by royalty. And there's a reason for this, and the reason is this, is that he came not as a king to dominate humanity, but he came as a king to dwell in humanity. That's the reason that he came the way he did. The reason that he came in such a humble way is because he came to dwell in and with humanity. He came as Emmanuel, God with us. Is this right? He came, you know, in this day, you know, to dwell with us so that he could dwell within us. Amen? Isn't that good? All right, so I'm going real quick this morning because we want to get to lunch. Amen? Is that okay? Who's getting hungry? All right. So Jesus' arrival shows us something super powerful. God's kingdom doesn't, you know, it didn't begin with force like most kingdoms we think of. When kingdoms come, or when one you know region takes over another, there's force, there's fighting, there's war. Kingdom, this kingdom didn't come with force. It comes with a transformation of heart. Amen. So let's look at what kind of Jesus or what kind of King Jesus is. Anyone ever, if you're a parent, you probably have this little book at home called, I think it's called The Good Father or The Good Father. You know that book? If you haven't read that book before, you haven't seen that book before, it's a very good illustration of the kind of King Jesus is. And without reading the story, there's a few little illustrations that we can pull from that. And that is, you know, the first thing that the kind of king that Jesus is he is a servant king. He is a servant king. Let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, and he has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." So Jesus was a servant king. Well, Jesus is a servant king. Jesus washed feet, right? He touched the untouchable. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He loved the broken. He welcomed the forgotten. This is what Jesus did. He was a servant king. You know, he didn't come to be served, which kings are usually served, right? He didn't come to be served, but to serve. And you know what? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't just come to serve in that moment. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a king that serves. Someone say he's a king that serves. Next type of king that Jesus is he is a saving king. Amen? Let's look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. This is what the angel said to Joseph. "And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So Jesus was a saving king. He wasn't a king that came to judge. He was a king that came to rescue. He was a king to come to save. He was a king that came to redeem. He was a king that came to restore relationship with humanity and God. He was a saving king. Amen. The next one is that he is a reigning king. He shall reign. Amen. He shall reign. You know that his throne is eternal. His throne is eternal. His authority, you know, it's unshakable. His rule is unstoppable. He is a reigning king. Let's look at Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. You know, the angels, you know, they didn't sing, you know, he might reign. They didn't sing, you know, he could reign. They sang this. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.'" He shall reign forever and ever. Amen? He is a reigning king. He is a reigning king. He's... kingdom shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Someone say, "He shall reign." He shall reign. Bless the Lord. Someone's listening. So what does his reign mean to us today? You know, when Jesus reigns in our hearts, I know you know this, everything changes in your life. Everything changes in your life. When you make a decision to accept Jesus to reign in your heart, your life will change. your life will change. You know, His kingdom, you know, it brings so many things. You know, and the obvious thing, the very first thing we think of is love. His kingdom brings love. He's a loving king. There's a few others that I thought about. You know, we could talk about this all day long. But if you narrow it down to it, there's a few things, that particularly things that the human heart cries out for. And obviously there is that, the obvious one is that, you know, we want to feel loved and we want belonging, right? But there's also this thing called hope. There's also this thing called hope. And this is what he's, you know, Him reigning in our lives today brings. It brings us hope. You know, look at Colossians 4:27. It says that Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. His reign in your life will bring you hope. And you think, you know, we're in a world that's, you know, full of fear, full of uncertainty, full of, you know, darkness. But His reign brings hope. When you allow Him into your life, when you allow Him to reign in your life, it will bring you hope. And it's a hope that doesn't fade. You know, it's not a worldly kind of hope. It's a hope that doesn't change, that doesn't fade. Amen? You know, when the king is on the throne, the devil never gets the final word. Isaiah 9, verse 6-7. We read before. It was this other thing that we can pull from the scripture. So again, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Everyone longs for peace. Our hearts long for peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Someone say He's the Prince of Peace. And again, He's not the kind of peace that the world brings. You know, one thinks of, you know, what are you wishing for this year? World peace, you know, like, isn't that not even that kind of peace? This kind of peace is the peace that steadies your soul. It brings rest to, you know, the deepest parts of you. It's that kind of peace. Amen? You know, even through the wildest storms you could ever face in your life, He brings peace. When you let Jesus reign in your life, He bring you peace. Because He is the Prince of Peace. That's His name. Amen? So His reign brings peace that rules your heart when you allow Jesus to rule your life. Isn't that good news? Another thing that He brings is purpose. Who needs purpose? Matthew 28:19, we know this. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He brings us purpose. When the King reigns in us, when he reigns in your life, you know, you find out why you're here. You find out why you're here. You know, it's not just to go to school, be educated, go to work all your life, then retire, move to the Gold Coast, buy a boat, and go fishing all day. That's not the purpose of your life. Sounds good. That part of, I like the fishing part. That sounds good. But that's not the purpose of your life. When you allow Jesus to reign in your life, you find purpose. Life has purpose. You find out what that is. You know, He gives us purpose. Now, He commissions us to be a part of the story that He's writing on earth right now. Amen? We're a part of it. Isn't that good? And the last little thing here, right, was victory. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 says, but thank God He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory. What does his reign mean in our life? It means that we can live a victorious life. Amen? We can live a victorious life. You know, his reign breaks the power of sin, shame, fear, even death. It breaks the power. We wrote on our wall over there, Jesus won the absolute victory. Jesus won the absolute victory. And because Jesus reigns, because he won the absolute victory, we walk in victory. Amen? We walk in victory. So remember that scripture, Revelation 11:15, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. You know that, think about that. Every worldly kingdom rises and it falls, right? Every, you know, worldly ruler comes and goes, right? But not King Jesus. Not his kingdom. It's everlasting. It's everlasting. So Christmas reminds us that the King has come. Christmas reminds us that his reign will never end. His reign will never end. But you know what? We need to respond to it. We need to respond to it. How do we respond to him? How do we respond? This, I'm talking to all of us here this morning. You know, our response just needs to be this. Let him reign in your life. Let him reign in your life. Let him reign in your heart. You know, make room for him. Surrender your life to him, your decisions, your future to him. Just let him reign in your life. Let him reign in your family. You know, I mentioned before there can be this kind of nervousness around the family gathering at Christmas time. You know, particularly when we haven't seen people for a while, like there's this nervousness around. You know what you need to do? Just let him reign in your family. Let him reign in your home. You know what happens when you do that? Forgiveness flows. Peace settles on the place. Why? Because he's the Prince of Peace. He reigns. Amen? You know, love deepens. And families, you know, they are strengthened. That's what happens when we allow him to reign in our homes and reign in our families. And the other thing that you can do is let him reign in your future. We get into this time of year and everyone starts thinking about next year. You know, the New Year's resolutions and all that sort of stuff. You know, we start thinking about the future. Well, you know what? Just let him reign in your future. Is that good? You know, you don't have to fear about what tomorrow is going to look like. Because the one who reigns, he holds your future in his hand. Let him reign. So you know what? We're going to have a couple more carols with the kids and they're very excited. And we're going to have some lunch real soon. But I just want to, you know, give you an opportunity this morning. And this is a Christmas invitation. Okay? This is a Christmas invitation to everyone to let him reign. To let him reign. You know, maybe today you feel far from God. You know, maybe, you know, life seems, you know, overwhelming. You know, maybe you've never really fully surrendered your life to Jesus. I just want to let you know that today can be your day. Amen? Today can be your day. This is my Christmas invitation to you. Just let Jesus reign in your life. Just let Jesus reign in your life. So if you would like that, like to do that, please, after we finish here in a moment, come and have a little chat with me. I'd love to pray with you. We'd also have a couple other guys might even be willing to pray with you. Don't be in a real hurry to rush off to have some food. There's heaps of food. Did you see the dessert table when you came in? Good Lord. There's heaps of food. You don't have to be in a rush. This invitation is for you. And I just want to pray with you. Maybe we could pray this prayer together. How about you bow your heads and close your eyes? Let's pray this together. Lord Jesus, today we celebrate you, our King. Thank you for stepping into our world, for saving us, and for reigning forever. Now say this way, I invite you to reign in my heart, to reign in my home, and to reign in my life. Let your peace fill me. Let your hope strengthen me. Let your purpose guide me. We give you all the glory and all the honor today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.